Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring Curve Control to help protect against crashes on curves. Look for Curve Control, available in the 2013 Ford Taurus. You can learn more at Ford.com/cars/Taurus.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 51, recorded on Monday, March 12th, 2012. Almost forgot the date. Your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I don't know why my voice cracks. Oh, and that's it. I was just like, oh, and you are. Our guest today is Aaron Gingrich from AndroidPolice.com. He is editor over there. Hello, Aaron. Nice to have you back on the show. It's been a long time. I think you were on one of our betas way back in the day.
Yeah, I think it was almost April. Might have been earlier. Yeah, it's been a while.
Wow. So it's been a full year, but we weren't even actually a true, like, in-the-feeds show at that point. You were helping us develop the show at that point and figure out exactly what we're doing here. But it's really nice to have you back. We've been meaning to have you back much sooner than this. So thank you for coming back with us.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Love Android Police.
We have a lot to talk about. We're going to be discussing what it means to play. We've got tons of patent issues. Oh, my goodness. The saga always goes on. We have a review of this contraption here that I have in front of me. We'll be talking about another contraption over there. A little
Pac-Man.
I like the negative connotation with contraption.
Is it really negative?
I feel like there's a little bit of, like, it's like, well, it's in italics.
First of all, mine's going to be actually very positive.
Yeah, it's like an Inspector Gadget type thing.
Yeah, this sort of contraption that we're working with here.
Contraption of things. And the arena is another big grab bag. Yeah, before the show, I was commenting, all of our devices except for the clamshell is Samsung. Nexus S.
Oh, yeah, I guess
this is
so.
The Tab 7.7, the 10.1, mm-hmm. GS2.
Are they even watching?
The Note.
Can we get some sponsor dollars or what's going on here?
I didn't realize that was going to happen today, but we have. What phone have, Aaron? Come on, give us a different phone.
I have Samsung Galaxy R.
See, yes! There you go.
I thought for sure you would break out an HTC or something.
Apparently, Samsung's doing okay.
Yeah.
No, if this is a slice of the marketplace, then right. they're dominating.
Very well,
dang. All right. Well, we do have a Sony thing here. So
yeah, exactly.
A Sony thing.
It is kind of a thing. I don't even know what to call it, but Jason will.
True. We'll talk a little.
It's
bit
a contraption.
Very briefly.
Yes. Chad, let's start our news. Last week, there was a big announcement from Google that Android Market is no longer. It is now called Google Play. All your entertainment, anywhere you go. I have the new icon on all my contraptions.
Mm-hmm. Finally
including
updated.
Including my Google TV at home. I saw it this morning. I thought, wow. And that's an interesting video, Chad. If you're watching the video, their little promo shows a lot of retro items as they are promoing what you can find in Google Play, which I thought was interesting. Music is like a little, what do you call that contraption? That's a musical.
A music box.
Music box. Yeah, there you go. Music from Music Box. So basically, your Android Market is no longer called Android Market, and even the icon has changed as well.
It's pretty much just a rebranding effort. The functionality, as far as I can tell, didn't change dramatically.
But there's just a lot of, as they launched this, there was a lot of sales still going on today, 25-cent books and music and albums and apps. Every day there's some new sale that they're promoting to help hopefully get people to sign up and use the services more. I know I bought a book for 25 cents, bought an album. You did too, right, Aaron?
I did. Yep.
Anything else? Did you buy anything else from the sale-o-rama?
I picked up a couple of the apps. I had picked up a bunch during the 10 cent sale back in December. So I already had a couple of them. I picked up a couple more that were a quarter or 50 cents each. Yeah. I mean, you have to. At that cheap, you have to buy something.
I know. You do. Yeah.
And they're solid. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of really good games that I didn't see in the 10 cent deals, a few months back. that I picked up that I'll probably play once because I don't really game a whole lot on Android. But at 50 cents, I mean, it's a complete impulse buy. Really, I think I spend a total of like $4.50, $5 just totally impulsively. Mm-hmm. And so I have, you know, yet another giant list of apps to add to my list, and we'll see how much I use them. But I think this is so good. I don't know how long they're going to do these types of deals. I've heard that it's just for the week.
Reservoir Dogs is 25 cents today. Rent it.
Oh, that's there not for the rental.
And you have 30 days to watch those, yeah, too, so rent. You don't have to watch
that's
it
not too
today
bad.
To get it.
I need to utilize more of the movies on the Google TV, like to see how that integration goes and
absolutely
and that sort of thing. I mean, I mean, it's neat. I mean, I think the sales are great. I'm curious to see what the deals are like for the developers themselves, whether or not they're paying the difference between, let's say I have an app that I want to sell for $1.99 and they're selling it for 10 cents as part of this deal. Mm-hmm. Does that mean, are they paying the developer that difference, or, you know, which is typical. I mean, I know that's kind of how Amazon does it, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Google's doing as well. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I haven't really heard how they're working that with developers.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if their goal is, and it is right now, as you had mentioned, it's more of a rebranding play. Their goal is to get more people used to the idea of staying inside that Google ecosystem and buying through there if they haven't already. I think those deals are kind of essential to do that because they kind of reprogram those people that aren't used to doing that into, number one, it gives them, you know, they're required to kind of sign up for Google Wallet. So they have to kind of open up an account and assign a credit card, same way that you would have to do to use iTunes. And number two, it just kind of shows them that it's not that hard. And in some cases, that impulse buy opportunity is a good thing. Especially if the apps are great, which all of these that were on sale
are. The big challenge is that you've got people like we were talking about before the show started. I'm, you know, you've got legacy stores that you're competing with. You know, like I buy a lot of my music through Amazon. I don't buy so much at iTunes anymore. How do you break people of those kind of old habits? My first instinct is to go to Amazon MP3 and download stuff there. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, well, maybe I should be checking Google Play. And the rebranding aspect of using the word play, I think, is great because it's like play, like they changed the Google Music app to play music, mm-hmm. which is great because that makes sense because what do I want to do? I want to play music. Okay, that works great. The janky blinged icon isn't so great. I don't know if we want to show that, but yeah, I mean, I say, Aaron, you're laughing. It's you got to agree, right? Not a good choice, right?
I agree.
I don't dislike it so much.
It's a subtle difference from what it was, and it's kind of hard to see on the video why it's not so great. I don't know. Like, it's very similar to what it was, but the way they colored it, this is so, like, minor, but the way they colored it and the way they outline it make it seem like it's a third-party knockoff of the Google Music app before. Like, it doesn't look like an official app now.
My first thought was it looks like so those minor, plastic headphones that all the kids are wearing.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'm just old, but I don't know.
Well, okay, so that leads us to kind of the big question. When I first heard Google Play, you know, Play as the name of it, I thought it was really ridiculous because I was like, okay, that only makes sense in a couple senses of the word, right? You play movies, you play games.
You don't play
productivity apps.
Yep.
You don't play books. I don't know. How do you, like, do you like the Play rebranding, Aaron? Or kind of what do you think? Where do you stand on that?
I don't really, I'm not crazy about the word Play itself. I don't think it's a great name, but I think it was something they needed to do at some point. So, yes and no, I guess.
Yeah, Android Market wasn't for the direction they wanted to go in, the Android Marketplace didn't really extend out to media and things like that.
So, right, it limited it to just Android, but you knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
So if you were on Android, you knew that that's where you were going. My fear initially was that Google Play wasn't going to make a whole lot of sense when you see like an app is developed, you know, and it says it has the little thing that says Android Market and then it has the iOS one. I can never remember what they say there. But when you look at those, you're used to seeing Android Market and going, okay, so it's on Android. My fear was that I'd see Play down there and the you know, Joe Blow would not have any idea what
and
Play
that's what
means.
You'll see now. It's a little bag with the Play icon. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, that's what it is. I mean, the thing is that it's not going to, the branding is tough and it's not going to solve, I mean, what they've got between apps and movies and books and music and games and all that sort of stuff, to come up with one word to kind of encompass it is a challenge.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very hard. Right.
So they're going to try to make it stick as much as they can. And maybe, and if we move on to the next story, I think that might
be.
Oh, you have one more thing to add to
it?
All right. Yep.
Just that I had heard that rooted devices cannot play the movies on
Oh,
I think that's. that's been an issue for a while.
Is that an issue for a long time? Yeah. Okay, I just heard that oh, I don't have a rooted device, but and we'll get to that later.
And I believe that there are ways around that if you so choose.
But I just heard a lot of, you know, complaints like, oh, I can't play it now. I can't play the store for now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like you said, there'll be...
I love how my gut reaction to 25 Cent Reservoir Dogs is like, ooh, I should go get it, even though I have Reservoir Dogs on DVD.
Well, see, like, that's a good thing, right?
But it's HD. Do you have it in HD? You can rent this in HD.
Well, I have it on DVD. DVD's in HD, isn't it? I don't have the Blu-ray version, but I haven't. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. Impulsive. Now, you know, they aren't going to make a boatload of money selling everything for 25 cents, but showing you that it's kind of an enjoyable enough experience that you would be willing to drop 25 cents on something you already have. Like, that's kind of like reprogramming your habits in a sense.
Well,
you know?
I mean, what I think is even more interesting is that you've already got the people who have Android devices. They're already using this marketplace, right? I mean, like, Amazon hasn't penetrated that much to the point where they're trying to steal market share. So are they trying to get people who aren't using Android to come use this marketplace?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
I mean, yeah.
Because
so,
this extends outside of just Android.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, yeah. So, of course, these prices aren't a revenue grab. It's a audience grab.
Yeah.
But what audience is it? And if it's people who aren't or in the market for Android or aren't on Android yet, mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see what kind of results they get in there.
Yeah. And Google is, like, really good at launching these very interesting, great things, and then just kind of going silent on them and letting them just kind of be, and then wondering later why they're not doing nearly as well as they need to. They really need to continue this kind of stuff, you know, really kind of pressing it to the market and saying, look, we're offering these really cool things for low prices. Like you were saying in pre-show, song, you know, albums are always cheaper on the Amazon market than they are on Google Play.
Well, and Amazon is playing a little game as well. All these 25 cent sales are almost, you know, I would say 80% matched on the Amazon store, I've noticed. Mm-hmm. The books, the music.
Oh, yeah, Amazon's coming
back. Not the movies. I didn't look carefully enough, but they're playing the game too. Like, oh, is Google doing that? We can do that too.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Well, and Amazon's been playing that game for a while, right?
Yes,
free app
have.
Of the day. Google could probably learn something from that. It seems like that's kind of what they're doing here.
Yeah.
So to kind of move on into the murky waters of patents, love this. Apple is to be given access to development details from Motorola Mobility and Google, an order handed down by a U.S. judge last week in one of many Apple patent lawsuits currently underway. Apple argued that the amount of money Motorola would have had to pay to design around these patented features, along with the amount of money Google paid to acquire and develop the Android system, is relevant to the amount of damages Apple should be entitled to if it wins this case. And speaking of all these lawsuits, Apple is apparently willing to negotiate a settlement that would appear to take a page out of Microsoft's book, by allowing them to collect between $5 to $15 per Android handset sold. This is in sharp contrast to Steve Jobs' declaration of going, quote, thermonuclear war on Android, if you read the biography.
My God, I can't even imagine what it's like in those meetings as they're saying, well, we want this. No, we don't want to give it to you, but you have to give it to us. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. And it just, the saga just does not end.
I
don't even know when it will.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, As much as I hate to say it, I think I would just rather see some sort of licensing deal be struck. And, you know,
that's a lot of money, though.
It's a lot of money, but, you know, Android isn't going, you know, the Android ecosystem isn't necessarily going broke because Microsoft is making how much on every handset?
No, but there's a difference between proactive payments and retroactive payments.
Yeah.
And by saying $15 for every phone that has been purchased up to this point, that's a large amount. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah. What was it? 300 million devices that our friend Andy Rubin said?
Yeah.
Our friend. Our buddy, pal.
Our leader. There you go. Our leader. There you go. 300 million devices times 15.
You just kind of feel like this has to come to a specific head sometime in in the near term.
But this is what lawyers do. They go back and that back and forth. That's why they get paid. I mean, that's what, you know, like, and while
they're, and that's what they're thinking. Yeah. I'm getting bank.
Well, they're looking out for their clients, yeah, and they're looking to get the best deal possible for their clients, and it will go back and forth, and it's got to reach some level of resolution at some point, but it just gets crazy in terms of what the proposed settlements are and what gets leaked to the public and what doesn't. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if they get retroactive. And if they do, then Samsung just jack up the price $15 to cover
it? Mm, well, yeah. I mean, that's a really good question. Aaron, would you be willing to pay just a little bit more if you wouldn't have to, like, worry about, you know, these stories that keep popping up and, what you know, is the sky falling, all that kind of stuff?
Well, as like an Android lover, yeah, I'd certainly be willing to pay a couple extra bucks. But I think it's a little more complicated than that because it doesn't really matter at the high end of the spectrum. But for budget devices, it's a lot harder to sell a device for free when your handset costs are 10% more, or, you know, whatever, 5% more on each one, then you have to factor in the markup. So by the time it gets to us, it's what, an extra 30, 40, 50 bucks? So it's not really 15 the whole at the end, it's 15 at the start.
Right, yeah, it would never be a straight shot like, oh, they're increased $5 to $15.
Right.
That's all we're going to pass on to you, right?
Yeah.
How is it being a little bit further than that? That's a really good point.
Cool. So so last week in San Francisco was the GDC, the Game Developers Conference, and some interesting Google-related Android news came out of it. Google Plus project manager Punit Soni mentioned that a unified gaming platform would unite Google Plus games, the Chrome Web Store games, and games for native clients and Android games. He says it's expected to launch next year, but that's about all we know about it. And going back to Google Play, a unified gaming platform driven through Google Play could be interesting. I was talking with a friend of mine who works at Google last week who was in town for GDC, and sounds like they've got some interesting stuff lined up in terms of games and through Chrome and on the web desktop and kind of unifying that Google Plus game experience, which exists but hasn't really lit the world on fire.
Yeah, it really hasn't. Well, yeah, and I wonder how deep the quote, you know, the integration into like Android really is. Is it gaming integration from Google Plus that just kind of ties into the Google Plus app? You know what I mean? Like bringing the games that you used to play in Google Plus on Android, or is it like a unified gaming platform that reaches into all the games on your device?
Yeah.
I kind of think it's the former. I think that would be my guess.
Yeah, I think the former kind of makes more sense in terms of saying, hey, great, you love that game on your phone. Now you can play it on the browser. Or now you can play it on Google Plus, because they're trying to drive more people to Google Plus and that sort of thing. They're seeing what has been successful on Android and then working with those developers to bring it over. But who knows? I mean, last week when we were talking to Mark from FTW, I mean, the idea of unified gaming and the idea that you play a game on your browser, then you switch to your phone, then you go back to your browser and you carry your levels. That could be something
so important.
Yeah.
No reason to think that Google wouldn't get into
that. So now if they're managing the platform, it seems like they've got the resources. Hopefully folks like Mark from FTW and stuff like that are able to survive. But
hopefully the experience transfers from device to the desktop, because there's some games that are really, really great on your mobile device, and I can't quite see how that would work on your desktop. But
that's
a big challenge.
Quick raise of hands. Who's regularly playing any games whatsoever on Google Plus? Any of us? Any of us?
No.
I played Bejeweled for like 3 weeks.
I don't even know if I played a game on Google Plus.
Triple Town is there now too, but I haven't opened it.
Warning.
I know, I'm not going there.
Okay, so same question. Raise of hands. How many people are actively playing games on Facebook?
Now. But a lot of people are. We're not the target for that, apparently.
Exactly. There's a whole Zynga and all that stuff. It's all built on Facebook. So the case can be made that it can happen on Google Plus as well. And maybe this is the differentiator that allows it to happen.
It's interesting now that I think about it, because yes, a lot of people are gaming on Facebook, and a lot of those same people, I would imagine, probably aren't on Google Plus, because Google Plus just really hasn't gotten the stronghold that kind of, you know, that rush of the people on Facebook that it was hard just to get them on Facebook to begin with. Now they're locked in Facebook. They're playing games there.
Yeah.
They're probably not on Google Plus.
But now imagine if of that subset, there are millions of people who have a phone and they're playing,
Triple Town.
Triple Town. And you love Triple Town on your phone. Now you can play it on your desktop when you're at work through Google Plus.
Yeah.
And that could be a way to get some attrition over to Google Plus, away from Facebook, or to get more people on there. It's just another thing that differentiates or that adds to the Google Plus mix to bring people over.
Sure.
It's that seamless play. I mean, we love it with Netflix, right? Watch it on one place, pick it up in the other.
Move it over.
That's what we want.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, totally. All right, let's take a quick email here. Bart writes in and says, I have a Galaxy Nexus and love it. There are a few minor shortfalls with it. I guess it's more or less the same thing with it, but overall, goodbye. However, there's one thing that is bugging the heck out of me, and I can't figure out for the life of me how to switch it off. I have two Gmail accounts associated with my phone in the Gmail app. I have another Gmail account, which I occasionally like to check up on while on the road, but I don't want to associate with the Gmail app. So to access the third Gmail account, I use the Gmail web page from the pre-installed Ice Cream Sandwich browser. When I go to the web page, a yellow pop-up appears offering to log me into my phone account without needing to type in my password. This pop-up, if nothing else, is annoying, even though it doesn't take over the rest of the screen, and you don't need to maneuver past it to start logging into my other account. Also, I believe this is to be a security risk of sorts. Yes, I know you're already logged in on your Gmail app, but that's not the same thing as offering the login on the browser. It might only take a clever website designer to figure out a bit of JavaScript to access this pop-up, and then they're in. Please tell me one of you knows how to switch this feature off. I did some searching around on my Galaxy Nexus and thumbing around online. Personally, I can't find any options to disable this in the stock Ice Cream Sandwich browser. I did see that in Chrome, it actually has the option to disable it. If you go to settings, then you click on signed into Chrome, and then you go to auto sign in, there's a checkbox there. No matter what, all you would have to do in either case, even if the stock browser did have the ability to disable it or uncheck it, would be go into the settings and reactivate it again. So it wouldn't really save you a whole lot security wise. I don't know if maybe it's just an oversight or if it's a non-issue. I don't know. Do you think there's a security risk there?
Well,
I mean, you're already signed into these accounts on your phone.
Right, yeah. So I think
it's kind of like if you're not locked with a lock screen of sorts, then you already run the risk of somebody getting into lots of things.
Right. If you lose your phone and someone has access to your phone, there's a security risk.
Right.
So they're going to get to whatever it might have.
But yeah. Yeah. You probably have a lot of stuff on your phone, not just that one email account or the Gmail accounts that are synced. So I don't know if there is necessarily a way to do it with the stock Ice Cream Sandwich browser. Maybe you could deactivate that browser if you have Chrome installed and then uncheck it on Chrome. I think it's a false sense of security, though. I don't know if it necessarily protects you, but it gets rid of the annoyance in that case. Maybe just start using the Chrome browser and deactivate it. It's as simple as that, because the security thing is never going to go away, but the annoyance can if you do that. So there you go. All right, let's jump into our hardware segment.
So a few of you probably want to know what I have going on here.
What is that, Eileen?
Well, I have the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7 docked into this Samsung keyboard. The keyboard itself is not really what I want to review here, but it is a decent, solid keyboard. And should I want to use, any kind of memo note app, it actually works pretty well. But I think you guys don't really care about the keyboard, right? You want to know more about this lovely tablet here. It is, and this is what my fear of not having my notes in front of me, it is very, very light, 7.89 millimeters. I don't even know. It's just, it fits really well in my hand, smaller than these two guys here. And I have the LTE version, the Verizon version here, 4G LTE, which works quite nicely with the tablet. Super AMOLED display, the first, Super AMOLED display on a tablet, 1280 by 800, 197 pixels per inch. What did I do here?
No,
it wasn't
you. Said nothing.
Okay, 1 gig of RAM, dual core, and there is also a micro SD slot here. I do have a little bit of music that I loaded onto here. What else? Front-facing camera. You can do some video conferencing. I was trying to do Google Talk with people. Also, back camera here. It's only 3.2 megapixels, but some people don't really care. A lot of people just use cameras for reference.
Right.
And, they tout, full HD video playback, yada, yada, yada. Now, what's interesting here, if you could see, is that it has a little mini dock for some Samsung apps, like the music player. It'll pop up here, and I could play a little music here if I want to use their music player. it's kind of different. And then, you know, World Clock will pop up. It's kind of interesting. It's a little bit different. I hadn't seen that before. What's interesting here is this button here. I don't know if you can see. It's the screen capture button. I actually tend to touch that quite a bit, thinking that I'm going to the menu for whatever reason. And there's the instant screenshot of the of what you just saw. Pretty snappy.
Interesting,
I think,
that they surface the screenshot button so prominently, as if it's something you're going to want to do all the time.
I know. Yeah. And I accidentally hit that button quite a bit, at least when I first got it. But yeah, you know, the app drawer itself is pretty responsive. It's pretty fast. I love the way this feels. This is, for me personally, I think the form factor that I want in a tablet. This is just, it's just amazing. And when I watch, let's see if I have got Netflix on here. Get used to playing this here. Let me show you guys some video. Actually, I have some video already on here. Let me play some video. Let's play a little Vampire Diaries, shall we? I tend to always pick shows that have like
dark.
Yeah. And then you have a hard time seeing. But, you know, the quality is pretty decent. I actually like the speaker quality as well. There's two speakers here, left and right.
Interesting.
I was very, very surprised with the sound. It may sound obviously not superior, maybe a little tinny, but...
Well, it's just they're so narrow, you're not really going to get any stereo,
What else can I say about this? I've been enjoying this tablet quite a bit. I've had it for about 5 days now, and I don't know what else I can say about this. It's just, it's a really good size. It does what you need. I'm going to take a picture of Ron really quick. Maybe not really quick, and maybe I can show it. Pictures are okay. They turn out a little grainy. But, I mean, here,
best
take a hold of it.
Best picture of Ron how do
you,
ever.
How do you, I mean, if you took, if you held this, what are your first impressions?
It's thin.
Yeah.
I like that. If only it had a keyboard. No, I'm sorry.
Well, you can have a dog right here.
No, I dig it. I mean, like, I've been watching you play with it, and it seems like an interesting, you know, I'm a little...
Here's a couple knocks.
Okay.
First of all, it has Honeycomb. It doesn't have ICS. Upgradable to ICS. We hear that all the time. I don't know when that's coming. And it's $500 plus a two-year contract for us here in the States.
Yeah.
If you buy it, if you just buy the tablet itself here or internationally, it's $700, which is pretty expensive. 16 gigs on that one. Again, expandable up to 32 with a micro SD. It's just a bit pricey. I feel... like, I would have bought this no problem, even with the two-year contract, if it was around $350.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you, Aaron? Have you seen this tablet yet? What have you? What do you think?
I haven't played with the 7.7 yet, mm-hmm. but I just think that, like you said, the price is ridiculous. I don't know why anybody would pay that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really such a con right there. I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
I mean, that's just it. I mean, the device might be great, but when you're talking about $550 as well as a contract, like, that's a double zinger right there. I think of $550 as the price you're paying out of pocket if you're off of contract.
Yeah.
And then to lock yourself into a contract on top of that, you got to really love that device
to
go into it. Having said that, the hardware is fantastic. The size, actually, I think the size is great.
It's a little squat to me. I don't know why. I don't know what it from,
you like something more substantial?
Yeah, something longer. The aspect ratio is closer to 69. I mean, it's not like one of those 4:3 aspect ratios that we've seen, like the LG one or whatever, you know, those ones that we've been making fun of. Mm-hmm. But... it's interesting. I mean, it definitely would fit in the back pocket. It would pass the back pocket test.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, no, I mean, I think the screen is big enough to be a functional kind of a good tablet. I think, again, we talk about what form factor, what size is good, the 7-inch or the 10-inch. I think this proves the 7-inch is viable, is really good. And at that thickness level, it's just that price is just really scary.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It really
doesn't. Yeah.
I don't understand why it's
like
priced so highly.
Pricing themselves out of the market.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's really,
certainly.
It's kind of sad to me. It's like, God, if they would have just priced this just a little bit cheaper and shipped it out with ICS, a little bit more competitive.
Yeah. And, so I'm telling you, when Ice Cream Sandwich hits that, I actually rooted my 10.1 last week and put Ice Cream Sandwich on it. And I don't know if it's just because it's, you know, new and I, you know, have something new on this tablet, but suddenly I'm using it all the time again.
That's
I really enjoy Ice Cream Sandwich in the tablet experience. So, you know, it'll probably make that even more, you know, more worth having, but I don't know, still don't know if it's worth the price in the contract there.
Yeah. Right? All right. Well, in other Samsung news, that's
and
it
other
for me.
Ice cream sandwich
and other ice cream sandwich news. So I wouldn't say don't buy this. I'm actually going to review this on our show before you buy. I'm going to say try it because
if you can afford it, and
if you
fits
can afford it,
yeah.
And if you're looking for an Android tablet, this to me competes in a slightly different way with the Prime. So it just depends on what you're. You know, what your needs are, which is great because we have choice. All right. So in other Samsung news, last week I was very excited. I saw this note from The Verge that said, Samsung Galaxy S2 is going to get ICS. Oh, my God. Okay, great. So I was counting down. It was like Thursday afternoon. I thought, oh, Saturday morning. This is great. Next day. Fake. False. Not
always.
Happening.
Always.
Not happening. It was like a Filipino Samsung site wrote that out. And then it was an error that Samsung Korea corrected. But now there's rumors that it might happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So here's, okay. Yeah, you don't believe it? Okay, so here's what happens to me over the weekend. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm so sad. Okay, I'm just going to root my phone. And then I had lots
of
issues.
Did you do it?
Well, you know, I had a lot of issues. I'm such a noob at this. And I started reading all of the directions. And then I had like 15 tabs open, like half of which was XDA. Uh-huh. And then I started getting nervous because I started reading posts like, oh, you know, the camera doesn't work on CM. I want to put CM9 on it. Camera doesn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, but you need... And then I started getting the directions, and then it says Super One Click doesn't work anymore, or at least somebody said that. And then I got freaked out.
It's a rabbit hole.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so I went
absolutely
down the rabbit hole,
rabbit
and then
hole.
Eventually what I did was, I just hooked this up. Samsung has an application called Keys, and I haven't been able to do an over-the-air update with this international unlock phone. And the desktop application was not working well with my Mac with this attached, and I finally just attached it to a Windows machine and it worked, and I upgraded the firmware, and then I got into another rabbit hole because my phone started rebooting over and over and over again because there was an app on the SD card that was causing it to do that. So I had to investigate. Hour later, I just erased the
Welcome
SD card.
Welcome to the fun of rooting your phone.
When people ask me why I don't root my phone, this is why. I mean,
and then I just forgot. And then I was like, forget it. I'm not going to root it tonight.
It's a crazy voyage that you go through when you're rooting your phone. But there's something kind of appealing about it.
Ron's like, no.
I'm shaking my head no.
I think some
Aaron's
people actually
head,
enjoy
yes,
the pursuit.
Aaron, do you root your phone or no?
Yeah, actually, it's sort of like digital carpentry. You know, you get a feeling that you did something awesome.
Yes.
I have a transformer. I rooted a transformer. Uh-huh. I have, I've rooted my Galaxy R. I rooted my Photon. I rooted my Evo. I rooted them all. I like the added functionality, especially the biggest thing for me is wireless tether. The wireless tether app is really nice to have when you're on the move. So that's the big reason why I root my phones.
And that's, I'm on T-Mobile and on the Nexus S, and I have that on my phone already. So, like, I can set up the hotspot and that sort of thing. I did that this weekend when I was in San Diego. So, like, the added functionality I can get from – I haven't found the added functionality I can get by rooting my phone that's caused me to go over the cliff yet. So
answer me this question. The insecure kernel, I have to have the same number that is on my phone, right? I don't just pick one that's close.
No, they have to match.
Thank you. Okay, so
they
somebody was saying you just pick one closer.
As far as I know, the only way I've done it is that they match and everything that I've read.
Thank you. Okay.
Had
to ask the expert here because I can't find my insecure kernel.
I am no expert on rooting. I just I've futz my way through it and it takes me forever. But by God, like you said, at the end of it, if you finally make it through the other side of that tunnel and it's working, you really feel like you accomplished something.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, you're sweaty because you've spent 5 hours trying to figure this thing out. Thinking twice along the way that you just destroyed your phone entirely, but that's why it's so awesome when you come out the other end.
Right. No. I mean, I built Erector sets and like home electronic stuff when I was a kid, and I know that feeling of it works when it lights up when it's supposed to. It's just I have better things to do with my time.
So then there was
I understand.
There were a few how-to videos on YouTube YouTube that I actually got a really good kick out of, because some of them, they just went ahead and posted their mistakes. Yeah. And so that was entertaining as well. Like, you know, the guy's like, oh, wait, I don't think that's supposed to happen. Hold on. Then there's this long pause. Well, I think we're going to have to go back to step two. And it was just, I don't know. It was very good to know that the rabbit hole that I went through wasn't.
I wasn't the only one.
I read the directions like, okay, download Odin. Okay. And then I got my,
even with super one click methods, like, it's never quite as easy as you think it's going to be. Sometimes it is, but it's not always.
No. So that was my weekend. And no, it's not.
And you don't have ice cream
rooted. And I still, I guess this last piece of news I thought today. It's imminent. Okay.
I would say at this point, believe it when you see it.
Exactly.
It's news just when it happens at this point.
Just give it to me, please.
Well, I think something that could also be categorized under that category is our next story.
Yeah,
which is
true.
Which is, we've heard rumors of a Asus developed Google blessed Nexus tablet. Well, we're hearing rumors now that it's going to launch in May, and it's going to cost between $200 and $250, mm-hmm. which kind of is slapping the face on this Samsung 7.
See, that's how much this thing costs.
Exactly. So for $250, you can get a 7-inch Asus tablet that is Google Nexus blessed. Believe it when you see it. This is just rumors. Who knows? It's early.
An Asus.
Although May is right around the corner when you look at your calendar. So,
yeah, it is. So and that price
you,
is
so if you if you're in the market for a new tablet and you're thinking about the 7-inch one, you might want to hold on to your money for a couple months, see how it goes.
Or if you were thinking about a Kindle Fire, hold off because you might be able to pay the same amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, we'll see.
Hold off, everybody.
We'll see what happens.
You can always hold off. But
true. I feel bad every time somebody asks us, so what should I get?
Yeah,
it's always like there's something really good around the corner.
All right.
You've got the next email.
I do.
But you wouldn't know it.
This is what happens when you go off a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. You want me to take it?
It's loading.
I'll start it. FaZe in Montreal writes in saying, seeing all the discussion over how new high-end phones seem to be getting bigger and bigger, I thought I'd shed some more light on why. The screen size is generally not a design goal as a result of consumer response. It is a symptom slash side effect of other design issues. What I mean is that new high-end systems on a chip and tech like LTE are not only battery hogs, they take up more physical space. This means that more room is needed to fit everything in, and add in the need for bigger batteries and a desire for thin devices. The only solution is a larger footprint and thus bigger screens. So we should expect future devices that use current tech to get smaller, but the bleeding edge will remain oversized for good or ill. Very interesting perspective. Yes. I don't know if that's always entirely true necessarily, but it sounds
Totally true. I think it's totally viable, and it's an interesting explanation as we wonder why things, you know, vary in size and that sort of thing, you know. But yeah, I think it's a sound explanation. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it necessarily plays into every decision to go bigger, because there is a large, you know, amount of people that enjoy the larger phones. I mean, the Galaxy Nexus is a larger phone, and I enjoy it because of that.
Yeah.
It's just better for my big, ape hands. So
there ape we go. Hands.
So, but anyways, I thought it's a good perspective.
Ape hands.
So let's see here. Let's just let's keep this train moving. Let's jump into apps. Reuters reported.
Fun of me with my tablet here.
Well, we were wondering if you could get through the show using the tablet dock.
Yeah, the problem is you go away from the dock.
I looked at the dock and I thought we were going into apps afterward. And I'm like, we're fine.
It's what you get.
Dang.
Reuters reported on some developers of Google Play apps who were being told by Google that it's Google checkout or bust. Obviously, Google would love for their ecosystem to be powered by their own payment program. But why the sudden switcheroo? Well, Google actually contacted The Verge and clarified that nothing in the terms of service has changed at all. And in fact, violations to their policy have resulted in apps being removed in the past as well. Google Wallet is the required in-app payment system in most cases, with two exceptions: physical goods like eBay purchases or Amazon purchases, and transferable digital goods like books. So this was kind of like a story that wasn't a story, but it's still like I did a news search today and there are still blogs reporting on Google totally doing this, blah, blah, blah. And it's
it's been a slow news day, right?
You'll see it's not
Has it been slow for you, Aaron? News?
Honestly, it's been kind of slow for Mobile World Congress ended. Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, anything is slow in comparison to Mobile World Congress news.
And that's the thing is that, like they said, this is how, I mean, I remember, you know, doing stuff on my own on the side, you know, in Google and App Payments, that was the only option. And so I was kind of surprised when I saw this and saw them reporting on it like it was news.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you do whatever you need to get, you know, headlines and that sort of thing.
I guess so.
It's true. Okay, and released today is an app. If you guys like Read It Later, which I love, by the way.
Yeah, I'm a big
here's
fan
another
of that.
App called Readability, and it's basically will you save your articles to read later, and it's a little bit more simple. But the app itself is very, very elegant. Like, for instance, there's no tagging like you can do on Read It Later. For those of you who actually use Instagram, or not, I'm sorry. Oh, damn it. Instapaper. I wasn't going to say that other app. Instapaper is also a competitor, but we don't have an Instapaper app on Android. So those are the three, right? And so here's Readability. And it looks gorgeous. You have some options here to, you know, share on Twitter or Facebook, and you can change the font style. There, let's say I want Whitney. Do you like this font here, Whitney?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. So then it, you know, very, very simple. You have an extension on any one of your browsers, Chrome, Firefox, and Safari if you use that, and then you read it here, and it really strips down the page. I don't know if you're going to like this, Aaron. Strips down the page for, you know, ads and whatnot, and you just kind of really just get the content of the article. I you know, I've been using it for a little bit. I've been kind of trying to decide, do I want to use this? Do I want to leave, Read It Later? I also use Instapaper. There's so many. Now there's these are three big options now. You know? Try it out. It's free. It's free this week in the Amazon App Store.
Yeah, it's an exclusive.
Exclusive, yeah. It's free for us in the U.S. And there was a link that our friend at Andronica tweeted out for international users, I think, for in the Android market, or sorry, Google Play a store for those of you who live outside of the U.S. I'm not sure if it worked, but apparently he tweeted it out and I retweeted it. Hopefully it works for you guys. But it's free right now. Give it a...
That's an interesting point that you bring up just real quick as far as these types of apps kind of stripping out the data. But, I mean, isn't that just kind of coming from an RSS feed anyways? Yeah. So if there are no ads in the RSS feed, then that... that's not the fault of the app itself. So, yeah. I mean... Those sites are offering those feeds without the app, so it's not a big deal. Yeah. Nothing to feel bad.
If you want it cleaner, say here's now you can even still look at the website version if you choose. You have an option to do that, or you could just go back and look
I feel like a lot of these scraping apps provide the link to the original website.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of part of the part and parcel of the handshake agreement that you'll let us scrape because we'll send traffic back to you. You know?
Yeah.
Another thing that. Readability does is you could pay them $3.99 and supposedly 70% of that goes to a lot of the a lot of people that well let me double check here. I know, I'm sorry. It goes back to the publishers.
Okay, so the sites that you're pulling from, they're doing like a rev share basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I don't know, Aaron, how do you guys at Android Police feel about apps like this that kind of repurpose that content in different ways? Like, is it just kind of part of the game, or do you feel one way or another about it?
I think it's I think you said it's part of the game. The way I look at it personally is that if somebody's going to be reading RSS feeds, and what are we going to do? If we don't put ours up, they're going to read somebody else.
Yeah.
So we can't really complain about putting ours up and not getting revenue for it. We're still kind of winning in the end because hopefully then we have more name recognition. And like Ron said, they link back to us in the end anyway. So
absolutely.
It's comparatively, it's only good for us. Yeah. Compared to the competition.
Well, yeah, you want people to read your content, basically. And if they, and if, right, they, if exactly, they don't want to read it on the website, they want to read it through an app, cool, great. And even better if there's a program to get some sort of revenue share from their advertising, you know.
Exactly.
And what I'm...
I'd rather have them read ours than read somebody else's, as horrible as it sounds. You know, that's the truth. And if the other person's going to have their stuff on there, then I kind of have to put mine on there to keep up with them.
Yeah, you live and die by those visits based on those feeds. And I mean, aside from that, it's not always about just the content of the article itself. I find, because I use Read It Later all the time, I use it for preparation for this show, and almost always without fail, I'll have my list and I'll browse it through Read It Later, but I still go through the page because there's always the comments that follow, and there's a lot of really good kind of information that follows in those comments as well. You can only get that through the site.
Yeah.
So that's kind of further reason.
You disagree with Nick Denton then after his comments at South By about how commenter, there's no good to come out of website comments and that the...
Well, I totally disagree with that. I didn't hear that he had said that, but I completely disagree with that.
It was up on CNN over the weekend, cover from South By, just basically saying the myth of internet commenters being a positive thing. And
there's a lot of bad out there, but there's also a lot of really good out there as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool.
All
right. So another email, and my favorite topic and yours, the Google TV. Aaron, do you have a Google TV or?
I don't. Now that they're starting to actually do something with it, I wish I did, but not yet. Not until they kind of, I guess, do more with it.
Well, I'm a fan, so I would say get on board. But so Demetrius J. from Jacksonville, Florida, writes in, writing in about March Madness to start in the NCAA tournament. And he says that, I understand that not everyone shares my love for basketball, but hearing that I cut the cord and relies on a lot of on his Google TV, I want to know if I can justify purchasing a Sony Blu-ray player if it can play the NCAA March Madness website in addition to ESPN3. Yes, I have a valid provider, Comcast. I'm hoping that the Flash browser means that I can, but I'm skeptical, and in searching, no one has given me a straight answer. Also, how do you like the included remote, or do you find the remote app better, or should I wait for the next-gen hardware? And so basically, to answer your question, can you watch ESPN3 on the Chrome browser on the Google TV? Yes. I've watched my problem. I used I'm not a big basketball fan, but I'm a big baseball fan. And I used MLB.TV and watched baseball games through the browser on my Google TV. Every now and then, because of blackout restrictions, I'm a Mets fan. I'm here in San Francisco. When the Mets game is on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, it's blacked out of MLB.TV. So I go over to ESPN3 and I watch it there. The Flash player works fine. Totally no problem. Smooth viewing experience. Awesome. I did look into the NCAA March Madness website, and they did launch a Android app that allows you to watch on your phone or tablet if you have that. They don't have a Google TV app, but apparently you can watch the games on their website through if you pay through their browser. I didn't pay for it, and also I don't think the games have started yet because I'm not a basketball fan, but maybe they have. You guys will correct me. Aaron shaking his head no. Thank you.
Okay, so it starts tomorrow.
So we'll find out tomorrow. But I gotta assume it's a Flash player, a Flash or HTML5 player. And if that's the case, it probably works. So I think you're pretty safe with getting the Google TV. As far as the remote on the Sony Google TV, I love it. I think it's great. That's the kind of square, almost like an Xbox controller with a full keyboard. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. It sits well in the hand. It's easy to use the keyboard. I actually have the Google TV remote and Able remote on my phone, my tablet, as well as the Blu-ray, the Sony stock remote, and I use the stock remote more often than the phone or the tablet. So that's just the
Jump in there really quick. Yep. Mm-hmm. The app, the NCAA app, doesn't actually work on tablets, and it's sort of spotty on phones, and it doesn't work on Ice Cream Sandwich. So you can't. It does, but you can't stream on Ice Cream Sandwich.
So
if you buy the streaming package,
ICS doesn't get.
If you buy the streaming package, you can't watch it on your Galaxy Nexus. You'd have to watch it on the computer then. The app otherwise works on the phone, though.
There you go. So some words of warning for NCAA fans. I had no idea because basketball is not my thing.
But, that is a sad trombone. Yeah.
Dave MacD says that the ESPN 3 app crashes on his review. I tried it today. It seemed to work just fine. I was watching English Premier Soccer and saw another tennis tournament. Yeah. But I wasn't watching something heavy like... Maybe there'd be more viewers watching the NCAA tournament.
Like I said, I've used my Google TV, and I've watched ESPN3, and I've watched the baseball games and soccer games, no problem. Yeah. So I say go for it. What do you got to lose?
Cool. Let us know how it goes.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring Curve Control. Now, Curve Control is part of a suite of safety technologies on the 2013 Ford Taurus, and it actually helps drivers maintain control of their vehicle when taking a curve too quickly. So here's how Curve Control actually works. First, it looks for potential problems by measuring things like how quickly the vehicle is turning versus how quickly the driver is trying to turn it, roll rate, yaw rate, lateral acceleration, wheel speed, and the steering angle as well. And those calculations are actually run 100 times per every second, quite rapidly. When it actually finds a problem, Curve Control rapidly reduces that engine torque. It also applies four-wheel braking, slows vehicles up to 10 miles per hour in 1 second, and it actually works on dry as well as wet pavement. Now, Curve Control helps protect while driving on curves and is one of several new driver-assisted technologies available in the 2013 Ford Taurus. And you can learn more about Curve Control and just about the Taurus in general if you go to Ford.com/cars/Taurus. That's T-A-U-R-U-S if you don't know how to spell Taurus. There you go. Ford.com/cars/Taurus. And we thank Ford for sponsoring us here at All About Android. Thank you, guys.
Can I make one quick update? So the word I was looking for, and I don't remember if I said it properly about readability, was publishers.
Yes.
So did I say that finally? Yeah. I just can't remember. So anyways, the point I was trying to make is that readability, I'll just read this from their website, readability features an innovative way to support writers, become a readability subscriber, and I think it was like $3.99. And 70% of your monthly contribution will go towards supporting great writing. Subscribing is entirely optional. So then they have this huge API that publishers can, you know, apply or use on their sites, blah, 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 blah. Oh, sorry, chat. And that's what I meant, that they have some kind of program here. I don't know how exactly it's working, but they have it set up. So I thought that was
sweet.
Kind of a nice idea.
Cool. All right, let's duke it out. Let's get into the arena. Why don't we?
Two enter, one lives. The Android Arena.
I want to put an echo on that guy's voice. all right, so last week's episode was actually a really cool arena. It was your apps. If you're a fan of the show and you're a developer, you were invited to submit your apps, and there were four of us picking the apps and reviewing them on the show, and we have the winner, which actually kind of took an early lead, and it looks like never back down. Droid of the Day, the app developed... Let's see here, by Mike Wolfson. It was actually my app, the app that I reviewed. So, yeah.
You get a win.
Boom.
And you get to send that prize to him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So this is the HTC Rhyme, which you get, Mike, in the hopes that you, I mean, I guess you could use this for whatever you want, but we were kind of thinking you could use this to test your app or any future apps that you develop on this device, add it to your list of devices that you can personally test on. And I should also note that we heard from HTC, I think last week, that the HTC Rhyme is indeed on the list to get Ice Cream Sandwich upgrade. So that's coming sometime, hopefully soon. I guess we don't know an exact date on that. But Mike Wilson, I will get in touch with you and we'll get your mailing address so we can send this out to you and you can start using it to test your apps. Aside from Droid of the Day winning with 51% of the votes, second place was Eileen with Data Detective. Third place was Kid and Play. Kid and Play's official app. No, it was Kid Play. And fourth place was Trivialist. Yeah. So cool. I'm excited about that. So this week we are just doing another grab bag. And, you know, facing the rules.
Yes,
Ron,
loser goes first.
You were at the bottom of the bucket, so
I'll take it. So we've talked about a lot on the show. I'm a big fan of to-do list apps and productivity apps and things like that. And I think the last one we looked at, Jason, was the one that you reviewed in our tablet app. What was that called?
AnyDo.
Well, I found an interesting take on the to-do list app as opposed to allowing you to set up lists and reminders and sync with Remember the Milk and sync with all these other things. The app I want to talk about is just dead simple, and it's designed for procrastinators.
Nice.
It's actually called Do It Tomorrow. And what it does is it allows you to manage a to-do list pretty much for a 48-hour window. You get today and tomorrow, and that's all it is. So it's really simple. It works on both a phone and a tablet. And it also syncs. The only syncing service that it does sync with is their website. So tomorrow.do, you can set up an account, and anything you do in the app happens also simultaneously on the website. But here I got it on my phone, and Chad, we can take a look at it. So it really – and one of the things that drew me to it was that it's a really pretty app. So I'm going to launch it here, and it's kind of designed after the Moleskine kind of book – design that a lot of us love those Moleskines for. And you can see here I've got, you know, today, March 12th, and I've got this list. So I've got, you know, I've got to catch up on email, and I've got to record All About Android. Adding a new task is very simple. You just type in add a new task, and I just type in whatever I want to do. Just hit enter, and there it is. You can edit the tasks. You can delete them, or you can reorder them if you need to change the order, and hit done. And when you finish something, you just kind of swipe across, or you hit the little check thing and it goes away. It crosses out. There you go. And it's done. Now I can also go and look at tomorrow. And so tomorrow I need to catch up on email as well. I need to edit some video. I need to call my accountant. I need to go to Home Depot. I don't know if I'll have enough time.
Dang, you're busy.
Yeah, exactly. And let's say I just want to get rid of that. I'm not going to be able to go to Home Depot, so I'm going to delete it. Just hit delete and it goes away and done. That's
go
pretty,
away, Home Depot.
That's pretty much it. And if you're like me, and if you're constantly working nonstop, and I'm always managing a bunch of to-do lists, as great as much of the GTD walk, the walk that I do, and OmniFocus, and all these great GTD apps, I always have a text file on my desktop that is just a bunch of bullet points of things I need to do right
now.
I need to send that email. I need to finish that contract. I need to do this. I need to do that. This is a great way to get that on my phone, get it on a desktop on the website, and pretty much wherever I go, as long as I can get either to my phone or to the web, I can get a hold of my immediate to-do list. No other bells and whistles. Does it really simply. It is neat. You might have noticed when I was looking at it, it's got that kind of neat little handwriting font. If you want, you can turn that off. The settings are real here, Chad. I'll show you the settings. The settings are really simple. You just hit the menu button and you go down to settings. And you can enable sync to the website or disable it. And you can turn on or off the handwriting. So I'm going to turn it off. And you can turn on or off sound. So I'll turn that off. I go back, you'll see here now it just switched to the stock Roboto font.
Yeah, but the coffee stain?
The coffee stain stays there.
Stays there.
It's not optional yet, yeah. So now, you know, in terms of, you know, as a hardcore GTD-er, I was a little annoyed that in the app I can't, like, what did I do yesterday? You know, but what's interesting is that there is some carryover and it will cross over. You know, the idea of this 48-hour window of when you're working on stuff, that's what they really focus on.
Can you send, like, okay, I crossed that off. Can I send it to my calendar so that I remembered that I did this since they don't?
No, but just simple.
Very simple.
Yep. So cross it out or I can push it off till tomorrow. So
how many times do you push it off?
Yep.
I know, do that tomorrow.
Yep. At what point do you realize that you've pushed a task off like for 2 months straight? Yep. Like at that point, you just kind of give up on it.
Yeah, well, that's not the app's fault. I know, that's the important thing. But it's a pretty app. It works. It does what it says. Allows you to manage a to-do list for today and tomorrow. And that's pretty much it. And it's free. It is interesting that they do have in-app purchases. You can purchase the desktop widgets. Mm-hmm. The home screen widgets that they do charge for, and they're really cheap. The small size one they're all pretty much 99 cents, or you get the whole bundle for $2.25. But aside from that, the app is totally free, and it's just a great way to keep a running to-do list. So
awesome.
There you go. Do it tomorrow. So I like the idea of embracing the procrastinator and all that.
Yeah,
just push
absolutely.
It off. The next day.
Take the guilt out of procrastination.
Exactly.
The shame and guilt out of procrastination. Yeah. I like that.
So.
All right, Eileen, you're up next.
I am up next. Okay, do you remember my winning app, Stick It, sticky notes for videos that I showed you guys voted for last time? Well, the developers also have a new app, or it's not really new, it's been around. They also have an app that's kind of similar. It's called Overscreen, OverScreen, and basically what that is it's a browser. But the browser can be used, and you can use multiple browsers on your phone, your tablet, so you can have it open up, as many browsers as you want. I think the demo said, I had up to 4, but some people were opening up to 12. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that, but I mean, it's kind of like one of the complaints I hear about, you know, tablets is that you can't really multitask. Like, how many tabs do you have up open when you are using your laptop? So maybe this is, you know, maybe if tablets did, or Android tablets did more multitasking, did a better job than maybe, you know, iOS, maybe they can, you know, sort of surpass, or more people will see the value. Works pretty easy over screen. When you tap a link on, say, Docs or wherever you want to launch your browser, I have my three options here, the stock, dolphin, or overscreen. So I'm just going to hit overscreen. And there you go. It's launching right here. And it launches over whatever you're working on right now, but you can move it around just like Stick It did. And then you can enlarge it or not. I'm going to get out of that app, which I was in Docs. And you can still see the browser up there as well.
That's cool.
I'm going to launch another browser here. I don't know. What do you guys want to watch? Let's watch All About Android on...
What's that?
on YouTube. D-R-O-I-D. I'm doing this all live. And let's see what I get, what my options are. And again, you can move it around.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. If you want, you can double tap the top here, and then you'll just get the bar.
Ooh, nice.
There. Minimize so it and then minimize open it up later.
Yeah, open it up later.
Nice.
This left button here is back, forward, refresh home. If you need to go back home, it always goes back to Google. Then we have some settings here. You could add some bookmarks, share, copy URL. Some of the settings here are pretty simple. Here's the problem here. Now you got to move that old one here. Yeah. You know, general, you've got privacy.
I love how we ooh and ah over functionality that was basically just Windows.
I know.
Yeah.
Seriously, right? Embed videos, auto hide, bandwidth management, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so that's basically it. And again, you can, you know, open up. And it does play Flash. You can, some of the, it's $1.49 right now, and apparently it's half price.
Yeah.
So I guess it's going to go up in a mm-hmm. little bit. And you can have many, many browsers open. I don't know why you would have more than, like, maybe even on this tab here, like, two is good enough. On the phone, it gets a little, you know, sketchy because depending on the size of your phone. But just like Stick It, you know, if you want to be playing a game while you are browsing, you can do the same too. And I think the functionality is pretty good. It functions basically like the stock browser. And I've been pretty pretty happy with it. And that is Overscreen, S-K-R-E-E-N, from the same makers as Stick It. So if you like to multitask that way, check this app out.
Obviously, this is their thing. I'm wondering when they're going to, like, release this for apps. That would be sweet, if that's even possible.
Yeah. But, if there's some way to make an app work within that. Yeah,
come on,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
We'd like that, too.
I know, so. And then you'd keep winning.
Yes.
It's like you have a lock on any of their apps at this point.
Yeah. I love these guys. You guys are my favorites now.
Well, we'll see if you actually win this
week.
I know.
There might be some, I got some stiff competition.
Serious competition here. Actually,
sure.
Aaron, you're up next, and you've got an app that I actually really like a lot. I was playing around with it today. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
The app is Reddit is Fun. It's not new. It was actually just updated, though, with tablet mm-hmm. support. So up until this point, I've been using Reddit, in case anybody doesn't know, is a pretty big kind of like a social aggregate, social media sort of website. So I've been using Reddit is Fun on my phone and Reddit on my tablet up to this point. So I had two different apps. I had to pay for both apps. It was sort of a pain. And now they just updated it. I think it was either today or really late last night with tablet support. So now it has, as he's showing you, two-pane support. The nice thing is it's really fast. It's really, it looks really sleek. It's well-designed. It's kind of, you know, minimalistic. Has different themes. Jason's using the dark right now. I've been using the light. So all that's really nice. Has good options. And the best thing is, when the developer announced that he had released this big update in the Android subreddit, he listened to the feedback for about 10 hours straight and replied to every comment and all the feedback, and then updated everything. So if any bugs people reported, within 10 hours, he had fixed every single bug anybody had reported at all, which is really nice. That's why there are actually two updates. There's on today. There's 2.0 and then 2.0.1 because he fixed all these things. It is really fast. It's snappy. I don't know that I prefer my tablet to Reddit, but it's definitely, you know, worth looking at. especially if you do have both. You know, it's hey, an app is $2. It's not really a big deal, but some people are cheap. You can buy just this and use it on both, and there's consistency there too. The UI is the same, although it is very similar to Reddit. I have to say on Reddit, I do like that the left pane in the shot right there in Reddit, the left pane is your own subreddit that you're subscribed to, whereas mm-hmm. here it's just generic ones. So that's sort of a bummer. I don't know if there's a way to change that. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, I was looking to try and do that too. You can type it in there, but you can't necessarily, as far as I could tell, like assign it as like the subreddit you want to right. follow.
Yeah. The weird thing is on the phone, when you pull up your subreddits, it shows the ones you subscribe to. So I don't know why it doesn't do that in the tablet version too. It's sort of a little weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, all in all, I think it's definitely worth a serious look if you're a big Redditor. I do like it. I'm certainly going to give it another couple of days to see if after I sort of adjust to it, I prefer it. But yeah.
Yeah. Up until you had told me you were covering this app and I wanted to get it installed on the tablet so we could show it off while you were talking about it, I had been using a Bacon Reader. Uh-huh. And I've actually really been enjoying it, but there's something about this. And Bacon Reader does actually allow you to kind of save those subreddits. Really, I use Reddit primarily to kind of check in on Android news. It's a really great way to kind of see what's trending on different things Android in their Android subreddit. And Bacon Reader's been great, but this one on the tablet especially is a lot of fun. You get lost kind of in the entire experience. So,
yeah, Bacon Reader's definitely really nice. It's very, you know, much more beautiful than the other ones were until they sort of stepped their game up a little bit. Bacon Reader really did look really nice and function very well. And it's always, I mean, obviously it's a Reddit app. Anybody who makes it is going to be a Redditor, but it's pretty cool to see that those guys really support it through Reddit, whereas some of the developers for the apps don't. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Right on. Well, that is Reddit is Fun. I had installed the Gold and Platinum version. It's $1.99. I don't know if there's a difference between the $1.99 version and the free version, but there is a free version.
I think the free version doesn't have tablet support. I'm not sure, though. I didn't really look into it yet.
Ah, okay. That could be.
I'm not positive.
Let's see here. Try tablet support widget in Reddit is Fun. Gold Premium. There you go. Okay. So Gold Premium Edition is for the tablet support. If that's what you're looking for, that's $1.99. Otherwise, there's a free version for your phone. Check it out. Awesome. Thanks, Aaron. And then finally, I have my app.
Mr. Winner. Let's see what you got.
Mr. Winner. Well, it's an incredibly useful app that I find myself using more and more nowadays. You don't always want to have to plug your device in with a cord or a cable into your computer. Maybe you don't have it with you or whatever. And so sometimes you want a quick wireless way to do that. My app is Wi-Fi File Explorer Pro. And it's it's 99 cents in the Android market. I left file out of that lower third. Oops. So basically, what is Wi-Fi File Explorer Pro? It's an app that you run on your device. So I'm showing my tablet right now. I'll go ahead and launch it down here. We'll go right into it. And it's essentially going to create a URL that I can plug into my browser in order to connect to my device directly. All I had to do was launch it, and it does that. You can set it up in the security options to require a password. I have it left off just to make this demonstration a little bit easier. So this is all that really is done on my tablet. I'm going to go ahead and set that down. And I think, Chad, you should have my laptop. I think I'm showing the tablet right now. Let me refresh just to make sure I've got it. If I need to change the URL, I will. That's right. So it's 142. Okay. All right. There we go. So what you are looking at is kind of the interface of Wi-Fi File Explorer Pro. It allows you to do a number of things from here pretty easily. You can take a look at a quick glance up here at all of the pictures that are stored on your device, video files, music files, if you have any. I don't have any on my tablet because I don't really do that on my tablet. Any pictures that you have in here. I recently rooted and ROMed my tablet, so there isn't a whole lot of media on here right now. But it shows it in a really nice-looking gallery so that you can kind of scan through it quickly and pick the things that you want to download. If I hit this downward arrow, I could set it as a wallpaper. I can actually push this as a wallpaper onto my tablet right away. In fact, why don't I do that? I hadn't thought about that, but let's go ahead and push that and hope that it works. Let's see here. Yeah, and sure enough, well, you probably can't switch back over to my tablet. Yes, you can. There we go. My tablet wallpaper has changed. You can do a number of those types of things directly from the web browser back into the device that it's synced up to. If you have an APK file on your SD card, you can initiate the install from this web browser interface. You can set an audio file to ringtone directly from here if you want to. It has a number of easy ways to kind of back up your entire SD card or entire folders. It's pretty much just as easy as going to the folder and clicking it, and then you can download the entire folder, or you can go into it and check off all of the files that you want to download, the contents, and it'll download it directly from the device onto your computer. And it's just really easy to do. As you saw, I just launched the app, and it made that connection. As long as I had the IP address to plug in to the web browser, it's immediate, and the transfer is really quick depending on your Wi-Fi access. You can see up in the right-hand corner, you can see a few little stats about your device, you know, free space as well as total space, what the battery is sitting at, the percentage of Wi-Fi signal, as well as a number of different things that you can do, like playing a slideshow that streams directly from your device. So you're not downloading that media, you're streaming it from your device to your computer. Same works for previewing video that's stored on the device. It kind of streams that over as well. It's actually very versatile in that regard. And it has an integrated search as well. If I wanted to go in here and, let's see here, Hangout. I think I saw that there was a Hangout sound effect in here somewhere. If I hit that on search and let it churn away, hopefully it'll find something. But that's kind of it. I mean, it's just a really easy way to connect into your device and get files off of it. When you think about, we've talked in previous episodes, there it is, Hangout ringtone. It wasn't the quickest search in the world, but it pulled up eventually.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, 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 totally. It's kind of negotiating itself. Yeah. But I know in previous episodes, we've talked about limitations with like the Galaxy Nexus based on the file system for dragging on and off large amounts of files. This is one way around that.
You guys don't have keys? Yeah. K-I-E-S?
I've installed keys in the case of my Galaxy Tab.
But
it did nothing
Nexus?
For me. I don't know. I haven't used it on my Nexus. Android file transfer actually does work on the Nexus.
It does all the same things for me on keys. But maybe it's just it works better on certain devices or not.
Well, I know that keys works better on certain devices because it didn't work on my Galaxy Tab at all, even though it was supposed to.
Yeah.
For some reason, I couldn't get it to work at all. But yeah, I guess this is just another way to do it, but for all devices.
Yeah.
So that is Wi-Fi File Explorer Pro. It's ridiculously inexpensive, 99 cents for all the functionality that you get. I think it's a no-brainer. I think there's even a free version, but I wouldn't even balk at it because I've used this app so much lately.
Yeah, it was free on Amazon a while back. I think it was one of their apps of the day.
Yeah, it's a fantastic app and super useful. That is Wi-Fi File Explorer Pro for 99 cents.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching your demo on Overscreen over here because, you know, it plays. Chad, if you could take my tablet.
That's right, Eileen. Oh, well. He can't.
I'm about to actually vote too while I watch this, here as well. So just
We have a lot. I got to say that this week's options are pretty solid. We have Do It Tomorrow, Overscreen, Reddit is Fun, and Wi-Fi File Explorer Pro. You can vote on these if you go to bit.ly/poll51AAA. bit.ly/poll51AAA. Let us know what your favorite app this week is, and I'll be curious to see where it lands because saw a lot of buzz in the chat room for each app. Every app that came along was like, oh, I'm voting for this one. Different people. So love it when it turns out that way. Early reports are in. Yeah.
There's something breaking.
Yeah,
sorry.
I see the breaking.
What is
hey,
the
can
breaking?
We get the.
Can
I got
go,
it up right here.
I don't even care if I lose if this means I get ICS.
It says ICS for Galaxy 2S will be available today in Europe, including Poland, Hungary, Sweden, and Korea, and gradually roll out to other markets. That was
today in Europe.
That was at 6:04.
Does that mean I get to be part of the 1% finally?
So here you go.
Thank you.
There you go. The link's in
all right.
Chat. I got the link in there.
I don't even care if I win anymore.
Yeah,
that was more important to me. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, the official Samsung mobile Twitter account, Ice Cream Sandwich for Galaxy S2, available today in Europe, Poland, Hungary,
Sweden,
Korea.
So quick, get on that plane and go to Poland.
No, I This is very international.
True.
On its own. This is my international phone.
There you go. See, it's not news until it's news. Now it's news.
Is it real?
Was it breaking news?
Breaking.
I think that was
breaking
news.
Yeah. Yay!
Who do we have to thank for that one? That was Cy Wisdom. Thank you, Cy Wisdom.
Yep. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
We love to bring a little breaking news into an episode of All About Android. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear how long it's going to take for it to reach the U.S. and for you to get it on your phone. I hope soon, but I fear not.
Go to Poland.
See. Yeah, just go to Poland. That's
just go to
it's
Poland.
As easy
I'm
as
playing.
I just need my keys. Yeah. K-I-E-S. Come on.
Aaron Gingrich, editor at Android Police, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you for having me. It was a great time.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you want to kind of promote, anything you're working on, your Twitter feed? Pretty much this is your opportunity to tell people where they can find you and what you got.
The best place to find me is probably on Google Plus, actually. And believe it or not, I'm on under Aaron Gingrich. Otherwise.
No way.
Just follow the site. Check us out.
All right. That's androidpolice.com. I check it out all the time. I love that site. You guys have a lot of really good kind of not only just the coverage and the news coverage, but really good how-to stuff that kind of gets geeky at different times. I always see these things, and I'm saving them for later for when I have time to kind of sit down and work through them.
I really like the app roundups. Like they've been great. You know, kind of. Those are great. Yeah.
So I have to imagine that drives a lot of people to the site because it's just a really good way to see what's new in Android Market, but that's no longer valid. What's new in Google Play? Anyways, Aaron, thanks again for joining us once again.
Thank you, Aaron.
We'll definitely have you back sometime in the future.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, Ron, plug away.
So, yeah, you can find me over at about.me/RonXO. That's got links to my Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, all that fun stuff. Wherever I am on the internet, you can find me. And if you want to check me out during the day, if you're into comic books, check out ifanboy.com, which is a comic book blog that I help run, as well as our parent company, Graphically, which makes digital comics for Android devices, as well as iOS and web and other fun stuff like that. So check it out, graphically.com and ifanboy.com.
Sweet. And Eileen.
I just was reading the Samsung mobile Twitter again for myself.
Just want to keep looking at it and remember how cool it's going to be.
All right. Well, I'm Eileen TV on Twitter, about.me/EileenRose, and gplus.to/EileenTV.
Yay.
Oh, my God, I did it on my own.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jason Howell, as well as about.me/Jason Howell. And that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or leave us a video mail link inside the email. It's weird how that works, but AAA@twit.tv is the email address for that. Find the show on Twitter. You can find us at Android Show. Our show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
Doing the swim?